You're listening to a Juno Afternoon. It's just about 25 minutes after the hour, and I'm actually here with the representatives of Foundation for End of Life Care to talk about this upcoming event. Welcome, Hal Geiger and Shauna O'Sullivan.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. And on the phone, we have Dr. Ursula McVeigh. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for having me on the phone.
Of course. Now, you're all here to talk about Palliative Care 101, a free talk at Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall this Friday, November 2nd, 5:30 to 7 p.m. Dr. McVeigh, you're the Medical Director of Palliative Care at Providence Alaska Medical Group, and you're one of the speakers for this event. Could you please tell us about the importance of this type of care?
Sure. Yep. So palliative care is care that focuses on supporting the best quality of life possible for an individual person who's facing a serious life-threatening illness. And that support is provided to the person who's facing the illness as well as to their family and to the people that are important to them. It's an extra layer of support that integrates with their usual medical team so that they can get the best medical care for their disease as well as get the best support to minimize the impact of the disease. And sometimes I think of it as a lot of our healthcare has really developed to focus on providing really excellent expert care of illnesses, and that focus has been on the cure or the modification of a disease, which if the disease can be cured or can be modified, is a very important focus of care. But there are illnesses that even despite the best medical treatment, we can't make them go away. And people live with them, and those illnesses can worsen and eventually lead to the end of someone's life. And that time, there's a lot that's important to people. And palliative care looks at, even though we can't make the disease go away, there's a lot we can do from a lot of different directions to help someone live as well as possible and feel as much like themselves as possible and to keep as much as who they are and what they want to be doing, you know, is the priority in that time of life, especially when things get kind of hard and delicate and stressful.
Dr. McVeigh, how long has that been your focus?
Oh, 10 years now. I was an internist and a hospitalist, and then I went back and got further training in the field of palliative medicine.
And Hal Geiger, Shauna O'Sullivan, you're here with the Foundation for End of Life Care. Will you tell us a bit about what you do?
Well, I'm not sure who's going to start. We used to be hospice. So way back a long time ago, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross came through Juno and gave a grant to start a volunteer hospice. And at some point, the Catholic Community Services took over hospice, and we continued on as a foundation. And we try to do things to in terms of education and support for hospice. So we've done a lot to help train hospice nurses, and every year we try to have at least one educational event. And a couple of years ago, we brought down Dr. Linda Smith and Deanna Seropian from the palliative service at Providence, and it was probably the best received educational event we've ever put on. And Dr. Smith and Dr. McVeigh worked together, so that was so successful. We thought, well, let's try to do something similar. And Deanna Seropian came once before, and she's coming again. So, to answer your question, what do? Well, we try to do things to educate the public and to support end of life care, as our name says.
Anything to add, Shauna?
I would just add that I'm a newer board member, and I'm an advocate as someone whose life was impacted by terminal illness. My husband was diagnosed about 5 years ago with a terminal illness, and I just really was grateful for the healthcare professionals who stepped in and provided us alternatives to intervention and supplements to intervention. So I feel like it was a huge gift to have palliative and hospice-focused providers available. That was something that wasn't necessarily offered right away, and I think it was something I certainly didn't understand or know much about. So it was a real gift for our family.
I guess I'd just say, too, in my own family, especially with the death of my mother, but in other cases, too, the family received so much benefit from consultation with palliative care specialists. And so I've seen that benefit. I've seen what a difference that makes.
I wanted to ask all three of you, what's sort of the state of availability of resources in Juneau or in Alaska for palliative care? And let's start with Dr. McVeigh.
Sure. Well, palliative care as a philosophy of care is something that any provider, be it physician or nurse practitioner or social worker or chaplain, any provider that's working with patients with life-threatening, serious, or terminal illness should have a basic proficiency in that. So they call that primary palliative care. And then there's specialty palliative care, where some people, based on the intensity of their struggles or symptoms, might need to see a specialist who has even extra training beyond kind of the foundation. Primary palliative care should be available everywhere. It's a careful and thoughtful conversation with one's primary care doctor or oncologist or cardiologist when somebody's facing something that can't be fixed and wanting to think carefully about how they proceed or what their priorities are, or when an oncologist is using pain medicine to treat the symptoms of the cancer as well as using or offering treatments to treat the cancer itself. Specialty palliative care can be provided by a consultative service like Providence has here in Anchorage. But the specialists and offering consultation in Alaska is a real unmet need. It's hard to find dedicated specialists in palliative care outside of formal hospice programs. But hospice is an important program that is a subset of palliative care. And it's a subset that would apply and be available for patients if they didn't have or want to pursue any curative treatments for their disease, but wanted to focus on comfort and support and face the final chapter of their life with the help of this hospice team. And that's the foundation work of Cicely Saunders in England that founded this philosophy of hospice care. And it's this philosophy of care that palliative care is founded on. It looks at supporting people in their physical symptoms, social needs, spiritual support.
Anything to add to that?
Preparing. Sorry. It's just preparing.
Anything to add to that, Shauna?
I would say that it's the approach that I think we've typically had in my experience in recent history is an intervention approach. And I think for me, I just would like to be able to let people know that there are options and you can really choose the types of intervention, but also you can choose the way you approach your end of life. And there are alternatives to intervening sometimes that maybe prioritize quality of life. And I don't think that we in our culture have typically really thought about that it's not always about intervening, but treating symptoms is sometimes a better quality of life.
Anything to add, Hal?
Oh, I've got lots of thoughts running through my head. I know a couple of years ago when we had somebody come to town, I wrote a little My Turn for the paper, and I was trying to think of what to write, and I remembered my mother telling me when my grandfather died, the day before he died, he was dying of cancer. The day before he died, nobody had told him what was wrong with him, and he was still receiving cards saying, get well quick, get well soon. And, you know, we've progressed so much. We have so much more knowledge about how to treat people who are seriously ill or dying, but we don't have a lot of expertise here in town. I think Dr. Urata is the only one with advanced certification in palliative care. So part of what we want to do with this talk on Friday is let people know what's out there if you go outside of town and what resources we have here in Alaska.
Again, the talk is Palliative Care 101, Integrating Support to Improve Care. And you'll be covering not only medical care to treat symptoms, but also treatment of emotional, social, practical, and spiritual problems associated with life-threatening illness. Some of that we were already touching on. But Dr. McVeigh, could you give us an example of what those problems might be and how they could be addressed?
Sure. Yeah, I'll follow up on sharing a big focus of the presentation that Deanna and I are put together for the community is to empower people for language and advocacy of how they can bring their priorities, values, and goals into the conversation with their treating physician and providers so that the treatments they get are in line with who they are as a person. And that's the gold standard now, but it's really hard to achieve. And to achieve that, we have palliative care specialists that help with communicating people and helping communicating with people and helping them think through their treatment decisions. We're working to improve our training of all medical professionals so they have the skills to elicit from people what matters to them. And but there's a lot that sometimes the person themselves, the patient, can bring into the room to kind of start the conversation, to say, these are the things that you should know about me that matter to me before we talk about what treatments are best for my disease. When I, when you learn medicine, you learn this is the best treatment for the disease, like it's an algorithm or like through a textbook. But what happens in a serious illness is that there are so many alternatives and the treatments and their outcomes that are acceptable. It's such a very personal choice and decision for what's right to someone, and it's time-consuming to kind of find which path is going to best match, you know, the person for what matters to them. So our talk is really about empowering people to bring who they are into the conversation with their medical professionals so they get the best care possible for them as a person. And that involves helping them think about, is this treatment going to achieve what their goals are? And if not, how do they ask about alternatives? And how do they think about that?
Well said. Go ahead. And I'd like to add that part of having a public talk is also to think about these things before you're in a situation where you're at the end of life or you're diagnosed with a terminal illness. So for me, I think having a public conversation that will spark a conversation with the people you love is really important. It's really good for us to think about what we want, but it's also good for us to communicate to our loved ones what we want, because you know we may not be able to do that when it's necessary.
I have another thought, too. We've been talking so much about the end of life, but this summer I was talking to a relative of mine who's 97, and she's having a lot of problems with being 97, including anxiety and some other problems that her primary care physician really hadn't been able to help with. And I suggested to her daughter, who is a somewhat medical person, had she thought of a palliative care consult, because they live in a town with a medical school. And her daughter just snapped at me and said, but she's not dying. And I thought that was a funny response for someone who should know something about palliative care, because it looked to me like that is somebody, she was somebody that could really use some palliative care who was not actively in dying. Mm. And so palliative care is not just for people who are dying, wouldn't you say, Dr. McVeigh?
Right, that's absolutely true. In fact, a lot of people, when they do meet with a palliative care specialist or talk to their primary care doctor about just what could we do to help improve my quality of life, they often say they wish they had done that sooner.
Well, we are just about out of time for today, but Dr. McVeigh, thank you so much for speaking with us, and safe travels to Juneau. And Hal and Shauna, thank you very much, and thanks to the End of Life Foundation for putting this talk together. Yes.
I just want to also say thank you to Event.
Event Alaska.
Alaska for helping promote.
Yes.
And Prospector Hotel, Bartlett Regional Hospital, and of course, Dr. McVeigh and Diana Seropian.
Wonderful. And if you can't make the talk for some reason, or if you want to know more about palliative care, the next episode of Mind Over Matter with Dr. Elaine Schroeder will feature an interview with Dr. Bob Ugata. So they will be speaking about this as well. That's coming up Monday, November 12th at 7 p.m.
Well, thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.